Blog Talk Radio.
Who's on the couch with Michael Couch today? Find out now. Here's Michael.
Well, good evening, everybody. Thursday night, 8 p.m., and we are here for another edition of On the Couch with me, your host, Michael Couch. Tonight we have a great show. Actor, director, writer, producer Richard Cutting is joining me with author and our resident spiritual intuitive, Sandy Athey. The topic tonight is focus. What is focus? Are we focused? How can we be better at focus? How can we better equip ourselves not to fall off our path? Taking your calls tonight at 516-418-5594. Feel free to go ahead and call in with questions for Richard. And Sandy will also be delivering messages from your universal inbox. But before we get started, I want to go ahead and play a little music for my good friend Anna Johnson. Anna Johnson, who had some rotator cuff surgery, but is still able to go ahead and play the guitar. This is Anna Johnson with Someday When We Get Back. Sandy Athey and Richard Cutting will join us. Don't go away. You're on the couch. Sure.
Oh, not your average, everyday kind of girl. She walks along alone on the highway, opens up her guitar case to sing. Glad to meet you, here I am. She says sometimes when it rains I cancel my plans, catch all the drops in my hands, listen to the beat. Life can be so sweet. Yeah. Magazines with torn up pages, old jeans with holes. She's worn for days, but who cares? It's okay. Someday she'll be on the big stage, singing about those rainy days, singing songs and blowing clouds away, far away. She knows that someday her dreams will come true. Someday she'll sing them for you. Someday you'll want to go too. And someday you'll find that you love, and then you'll never give up. Just keep living the life, loving yourself, and your dreams will come true. Hey.
Love her.
Every-
Everyone has questions about business, love, pets, or life in general. Did you know the universe has answers for you? For an appointment to check the inbox for your messages, call or text me, Sandy Athey, at 410-747-6510. Your message is waiting. Call or text me, 410-747-6510. Safe journeys, and I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, you're gonna talk to Sandy Athey right now. Sandy Athey joining me on the couch. Sandy, you're wearing feathers tonight. You each time you just outdo yourself.
Oh, thank you. Oh, I have wonderful feather stories. There's a daycare next door to me, and they see feathers in my hat because every time I walk the dog, I find a feather. So I put it in my hat. And all the kids noticed this, and today, as I was seeing them and greeting them on the sidewalk, they presented me with a feather that they had found for me. No, actually, for Coco Pelli's mom, but, you know, that's
right,
me.
Right. Yeah.
And presented me with this feather. It was so beautiful and so wonderful, and you're absolutely right. I am wearing that one and all of the other feathers tonight.
Yeah, no, I saw it on Facebook, and actually David Beck, another friend of mine, also too.
Oh, my hat. Right. It was on Facebook.
Yeah, does the feather walk as well. Every feather he finds, he picks up and finds some universal understanding in it. However, the topic tonight is focus. Call in tonight at 516-418-5594. We're taking your calls. We will go ahead and actually deliver messages from your universal inbox a little bit later, along with Richard Cutting joining us. But Sandy, what does the universe have to tell us about the focus? I'm very, very curious.
Yeah, thank you so much for asking. I had a really wonderful learning experience asking the universe about focus.
Mm-hmm.
And I consulted the universal inbox, and I also consulted my wonderful, handsome guy, the Green Beret, because he has the most focus of anyone I've ever met.
Well,
and he's, you know, he's a special forces. He's a Green Beret.
Right.
So I also asked him, and first I'm going to give you the universe's answer from the universal inbox, and that is the answer that the universe I refer to as the creator and earth mother, and I love the animals. I go to that Native American place, the feathers, the rocks, and this is what, for everyone listening, this is what I consider the universe and where I get my messages. So having said that, I checked the inbox for all of us, meaning humanity. What is our message from the universe on focus?
All right.
And its focus is condensed, directed energy. In our attention-based universe, whatever we zoom in on and send our life force to does and will appear. Quantum physics teaches us that energy moves according to what is holding it and where it is sent. You know, think of electricity or plumbing. We humans focus with our thoughts, our words, our emotions, and our actions. And when these are in unison, that's when the manifestation occurs. So you think about it, you feel it, talk about it, and move towards it. And then, of course, be grateful and appreciate your creation. But that's my little addition. I'm always grateful.
No.
So that is what the universe had to say about focus, that to remember that it's condensed, directed energy, and all those areas must be present, the feeling, the thoughts, the talking, and the action, to really get true focus. And according to the Green Beret, when I asked him, he said that focus was a form of discipline, which I thought was a really interesting and intriguing answer as well.
Wow.
That in order to get focus, you must be disciplined.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I thought that was really neat. And I know you'll have a lot to say about it, Michael, because you have been using a lot of that directed life force energy this summer with all the changes that you've been
I certainly have. I'm a big fan of focus, but I'm also a big fan of procrastination. And procrastination to me is one of those things where you hold on – until the very last moment where you have to be focused. But joining us now, Richard Cutting, actor, writer, producer, director. You've seen him in The House of Cards. Plus, he's created the award-winning web series Milgram and the Fast Walkers. Richard Cutting is joining us now. Richard, welcome to the first time on the couch. I'm so happy you're here.
Michael and Sandy, thank you for having me. I love the show.
Oh, thank you for being here, Richard. We're so happy to have you.
And awesome. Good answer, Richard. Good answer. Richard, how do you see focus? I mean, working on a web series, creating your own web series involves great focus. What's your take on it?
Yeah, well, you know, it's sort of focus. Without you, I'm nothing. I love to procrastinate. I mean, and I really heard what you said there, Sandy, about discipline. It is the discipline not to procrastinate and to apply focus. And being a bit of a nerd, I had to go look up what focus was. And, of course, I lost the last 3 hours finding out what the scientists say. And Sandy, your comments about this sort of synchronized, here's what they say. What do the scientists say? They say, generally speaking, they identify focus as sort of a subset of attention in general. And what we call focus, they would call selective attention. Now, there's a place called the McGovern Institute for Brain Research, and they think that it's crucial to our survival that our brains filter out an enormous amount of input. But the question is, how does that filtering occur? And they say that a neuron in the brain receives hundreds or even thousands of inputs from along its dendrites, yet it will send out just one message out the other end on its axon downstream to the next area of the brain. And they say that this process at the neuronal level has something to do with a certain synchronicity of these neuronal cells. So your idea from the universe seems to have some sort of scientific backing,
well, thank you so much for that. Yeah, I really appreciate that, Richard. You're so spot on. I did a show called Science and Spirit with a meteorologist, a TV meteorologist named Tony Pan, and we would discuss. I would get the universe's input as I did tonight, and he would give me the scientific take on it. And thank you so much, because it's so helpful to me that I'm getting the information correct. That's always so important to me. So thank you. That's such a nice validation and confirmation. I appreciate that.
Yeah, Richard, I love the fact that you actually look up the word. Each week I go and look up the word and look it up in several resources. And yes, you're very, very correct. Focus to me is the understanding of desire coupled with motivation.
Of desire. What does that mean exactly?
Coupled with motivation. Focus basically.
So you have to know what you're focusing on, is what you're saying.
You have to know what you're focusing and why you're focusing. Why are you focusing on this? Whether it be
so
negative or positive.
Intention.
Right. Intention. Tends to go ahead and figure into it greatly as well. Richard, let's go. I did some research on you. You started out acting in the 1970s in The Alchemist by Ben Jonson and Tom Jones at the Eugene O'Neill Theater Center.
Right.
Does that ring a bell? How was that experience for you? What age did you start acting?
Probably in the late teens and early 20s, really sort of wading into it more deeply in college, which is when I did the Eugene O'Neill Theater Center, National Theater Institute work. The Alchemist, Ben Jonson, wonderful. He's a contemporary of Shakespeare, of course, and it's a wonderful play. And so I got started on some fairly deep material and then trained as a stage actor at the National Theater Institute. And then sort of worked my way into indies and film and just have done it ever since.
Yeah, well, you're everyone's leading man, House of Cards, everyone's CIA agent, FBI agent, and... Buddy, I enjoy your work so much. I'm just absolutely thrilled. Taking your calls tonight at 516-418-5594. Take a little bit of a break. Feel free to go ahead and call in and go ahead and log in with your Facebook and chat live with Richard, Sandy, and I. You are on the couch. Don't go away. Back with Richard Cutting and Sandy Acey and myself when we get back. You're on the couch.
Hey, this is James Lucente from Lucente Entertainment. I specialize in branding, developing, and managing young musical talent. But for an hour a week, I really enjoy listening to Michael Couch on the couch.
A moment of madness. It's happened before. It could turn into sadness or a civil war. You've got me changing all I ever thought. Our defenses were down. You got up, tried your luck, got a dubious round. It can be hard to resist. It's a moment of promise of passion, a trailer of sin, a smiling assassin, the demon within. Endorphins are raging, a moment of madness. You know I'm not asking a lot, only your life. I don't want to get what I want, but I'm willing to try. Then I'm gonna ask you to stop, but I'm full of
of madness. And we're back on the couch. Richard Cutting, Sandy Acey in the house. Richard, I'm going to go to you with this question. Milgram and the Fastwalkers, a fantastic soap noir, UFO-based and stuff. What level of madness do you have to go through? Because the attention to detail, the attention to writing, the attention to editing, the attention to sound, the attention to framing, the attention to everything that you do in that series is quite brilliant. It has to contain a moment of madness for you when focus is determined. Would you not agree?
Yeah, I mean, it's very well put. There is a certain kind of neuro madness that goes on. I mean, I tell my friends who are in what I call the civilian world, who aren't in the business of film and television production, that they often confuse the ease with which they consume entertainment with the absolutely different topic and extreme difficulty of manufacturing it. And I tell them, when you look at that rectangle on your wall, everything in there had to be bought, shipped, broken, shipped back, insured, fitted, not fitted, complained about by the actor, fell in love with by the actor, approved by the director, financed, everything, you know, and that is only for that frame, times a bazillion frames. And the level of complex detail that you deal with in the filmmaking industry is in the scale of manufactured products, right up there with very complex engineered products because of this density of logistics that has to go behind every image that's up there. And it all has to be lit. And as you say, the sound has to be right. And that's only in production. And then you have post and financing and marketing and distribution and so forth. So it is an immensely complex business. And without focus, without the ability to attend to whatever that specific set of events is that needs to be done on a vast to-do list, you are quickly lost and swept away. And so I say that one of the critical skills of a filmmaker is sort of like an executive management function, if nothing else, at a sort of a baseline brain state.
You are processing so much
information.
But you're also, just to go ahead and spin off that, I was very thankful to be in just one little scene and one little episode of Milgram, and it was a one-camera shoot, and what I found brilliant, because usually I'm the hair and makeup guy, so I get in, I do my job, I hang around, I do touch-ups, blah, 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 but to actually be in front of the camera, it was fantastic to see what a one-camera shoot will do. How many angles you have to get, how much information you have to process, and then to see the final edit, because we were there for the whole thing. That is multi-focus. That is 12 different ways of thinking for one little scene, man. And that is some great brain thinking.
Yeah, well, thank you. I mean, it is, and I give credit to all my colleagues in the web series end of the business. I mean, we're sort of the chia pets of the industry. You know, everybody kind of rubs our head on the way in and says, oh, isn't that nice? You guys make those little movies over there. But the amount of product and the quality of the product that we output relative to the cost and the resources that we have is truly astounding. And I think the business is kind of seeing that in some of the Emmy nominations for people who do web series. You know, quite rightly, the Emmys are now recognizing the fabulous work that's being done. And so I think the accomplishments are starting to add up. And it's a result of this highly detailed thinking. Because when you don't have a budget, you don't have any room for error. You know, you have to... You use one camera. You know, many feature films will use 50 cameras. You know, I've heard of sets where they fly Canon 5Ds around, which go for about $2,500 a pop, fly them around on drones, and if they crash, they throw them out. You know, there are some sets that have lots of resources.
Yeah, that's when some people have money. Sandy, what's happening with your movie, too? I mean, Sandy's movie is being filmed right now. Sandy, give us an update.
Oh, thank you for asking. I was thinking about that as I was listening to Richard and his description of being on the set. And, you know, it really occurred to me that, and I see it in Richard, which is why it popped into my consciousness, that, you know, the most important thing is to use your focus as the producer, as the actor, or who's ever putting the production together, and have people around you that focus so specifically, accurately, and so professionally with what their job is. Do you know what I mean? If you're the makeup person, they're perfect at that. They focus just on that. And then to take all of that focus and bring in the big picture of – somebody has to have that eagle vision of how all of these things are going to come together. So I saw this really interesting, almost like a crop circle, like a mathematical equation when it came to making movies. And I see that with my own being made now, that there's so many little details. And I've done television and I've done lots of different things in front of the camera, but movies are, well, any production really is just that, as a production, as we all know. But that intense focus on the outcome, I think, is what is driving our product. We know what we want to present, so everything seems to be falling into place as we keep the focus towards the end product. Do you find that, Richard, when you work on a project too? You focus on how you wish it to look in the end, how you wish it to be presented, and then work towards that?
Absolutely. Visualization is incredibly important. And I agree with you. It has an absolute important part. It is an important part of maintaining focus. It's the tuning path that you snap back to, which, because there are so many external stimuli which can distract you. I think, and back to the scientists for a second. I just love to geek out on this because, Michael, this is such a great topic.
Oh, I love this.
Thank you. Yeah.
These guys in Japan, these cats at a place called the Riken Brain Science Institute, which I just want to buy the name because it just is great. they did MRI studies, and they said that there are two distinct processes in focus. One is called sensitivity enhancement, and that relates to how the neurons in the cortex take sensory information like sound and lights, and they apply a sort of volume or reception control, like on a television set. They adjust the volume of inputs, right? And then the second process, called efficient selection, is more like a filter, where they route the important sensory information to the higher order perceptual areas of the brain and suppress disruptions from irrelevant information. So you have this sort of gain control or volume control, and then this filtering that happens in real time. And when I read this today, I said, my God, that's what we're doing on set. We're saying, okay, wait, you guys with the crafty truck, can you hold for five while we finish makeup and get the actors warmed up? And then you're right, it all pulls together.
Filtering the information, right, and the priorities, right.
The scheduling,
priorities.
The selection process, right? And that is a working focus sort of thing.
I totally see where you're going with it. I tend to think of it as two things. There are forest thinkers. There are tree thinkers. Tree thinkers are basically the one with a task that they focus on. The forest thinkers are the one who are surveying the whole forest, all of the trees, bringing it in. Richard, I think you're a forest thinker, because you've got so many balls up in the air, so many variables that you have to control, from craft service to makeup to lighting to hair. To maintain that focus, I find, is brilliant, buddy.
And I see it as a mathematical equation.
Oh, absolutely.
Which is really, really, really interesting. That's how I'm seeing it right now, what Richard does. Because, Richard, your mind is so intricate. You're like a sports car, you know, a highly tuned sports car. And I'm seeing it as this mathematical equation of having all of the people around you focusing on what they're focusing on. And then, as Michael said, you're the forest focuser, so you're making sure that all of them are mixing together in a way that brings a balanced equation for your end product.
Yes, and you know, there's a very organic feel to at least making movies and film projects when I do them, whether I'm working just, you know, as an actor on a project or doing the show. There's this... In addition to, and I totally get that mathematical thing, because you're running a giant constant calculus that's aimed at the target zone where everything arrives, I have this organic feeling too, and I think of it akin to you're throwing a family reunion, and people are coming from Iowa and Paris and Buenos Aires, and you're checking on their progress. And each day they get closer to the set and the moment and the moment, and then someone walks in the door, and another one sits down, and another one calls in and says, I'm two blocks away. And then finally everybody's there, and you get and this calculus keeps grinding, and then the big clock on the wall goes, okay, we're shooting now. And it quiets down.
Mm-hmm.
And this ensemble, just this suite of people, have all done their own thing because it's all been planned. And they come together like it's almost like for me, these sets can be, I mean, this sounds very highfalutin, but it's a very spiritual experience when it comes together well, you know?
Oh, exactly. Like an orchestra.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly,
like you're
right.
A conductor, sure, and melding all the energies together. Oh, yeah.
And
it is
so
very
pleasing.
Spiritual.
And that's so pleasing that you can provide a place. It's almost like an ancient ritual space where people can then do what they do best. And you just step back and meld into the wall, and you just watch these amazing creatures do their thing, whether it's the guy just tweaking that light and getting that light to hit that actress, you know? To
right.
me, it's just like a beautiful suite of movements.
I love it. Richard, for the one little scene I did with you with Earl Clem and that
Jim and Victoria
I could only imagine, and I felt it because you know you feel some energy. I could only imagine what that felt for you when everybody hits their mark, everybody hits their spot, and you're watching stuff that you've only imagined inside your head, and in front of you. Everything is coming to fruition. That has got to be a situation. I mean, I've done thousands of fashion shows, and like I said, only behind the stage hair and makeup. But when everything is done and everybody does what they need to do, it's magic. It's absolutely magic. Taking your calls, 516-418-5594. You're listening to Richard Cutting, Sandy Athey, and myself, Michael Couch. When we get back, more with Richard Cutting. Don't go away. You're on the couch.
Hey, this is Steve Silverman, and I'm, what am I? I guess a writer, producer, director kind of guy, and I know Michael very well. In fact, so well that I'm on the couch with Michael Coach, which is weird, so I'm technically on the coach, whatever.
is Kelly Lee Tapson, your stomping angel, stomping out crap so you can two-step into your radiant true nature. As an intuitive energist, I illuminate the blind spots on your journey so you can ride into infinite fields of possibilities, have fun, be wild and untamed. Kick off an email to holisticheavennaturally@gmail.com, that's holistic with an H, or give me a yodel at 306-467-2301, that's 306-467-2301.
You're back on the couch. Cutting Sandy Athey. Sandy Athey is delivering your messages from the Universal Inbox. Give us a call at 516-418-5594. Back with Richard Cutting. Richard, I'm going to go to you first on this one. When does focus turn into obsession? I know myself, after a show, I listen to it two or three times. I make my notes. I try to be better. I try to do it the best I can. But when does focus turn into obsession, or is obsession part of the focus? Richard, let's go to you first.
Wow, that's a heavy issue. I think you have to know when it's done. You know, when a particular task or something is completed or completed enough. I mean, ideal in half completion or good enough to move on.
All right, Richard. I'm going to go ahead and cut you off here too. Let's say, for example, you take an episode of Milgram and the Fast Walkers. It's done, it's edited, you go through it a few times and stuff, you make your little tweaks. How many times do you actually review an episode to get it to where you are satisfied with the product? As a creative mind.
Yeah, we do it in stages. In other words, we'll do a rough assembly where we'll have all the edits, all the takes. We'll select out the takes and then put a rough assembly of what we want for an episode. And then we'll start really slicing it down and getting the cuts to work just right. And then we'll look at music and other tweaks. And then I think what we do is we back off and we go on to something else. And then we come back to it with what we call fresh eyes and say, oh, okay, well, these are where the obvious bumps are. And I think there's an intuitive sense that you get as to when it's flowing. You know, at that point, you've left the script far behind because the script is the beginning, and now you have fully inflated performances, you have sound design, you have everything else cooking. And so it becomes a very intuitive thing there. And some of it is just I relinquish total judgment to the editor who says, you know, it's going to play better if you do this, even if you're thinking that. And I think part of that whole thing is letting it go, Sandy, out into the universe, like, and saying,
exactly.
You know, I can't limit this to my own set of perceptions right now. I have to be trusting of the universe to let other people grab onto it and find all new different things in it. So there's this sort of odd point where I have to shut down my own inclination to want to do more. That's the discipline part. It's almost an anti-focus. It's saying, I'm done with focusing. Now I have to release. It's moving from focus to release, actually.
Yeah, that's a good point. Sandy?
And when you don't move to the release, it becomes obsession?
Yes, a form of obsession, I would say. If I don't move to release, it becomes sort of infinitely recursive, where I just, you know, it's like the kid who erases puts a period at the end of a sentence and goes, no, that period's not right. It becomes a little Rain Man, you know.
Yeah, well, going back right to what Michael was asking, when does it become obsession? And I think that was absolutely perfect. It's that flow, and when you release it and you know that, as you asked the question, Michael, I sort of heard, you know, the universe's answer in my head, and Richard nailed it. It's that flow, and when you're in the flow, that is the focus. But when it stops flowing, when there's an obstruction or there's something in your way, or you get anxious, it's really a feeling inside of yourself. And when that feeling comes around, I think that's when you're moving into a place that may not be very healthy for you, if you want to call it obsession, or like you get too over-focused. But yeah, it's a feeling. It's you know when it's right. And Richard, you're absolutely right. You have to intuitively know when the right time is to release it.
I totally agree. Funny story. When I first started with At Home with Victoria, listened back to the shows with her and everything. My go-to word was "ah," and my go-to word was "absolutely." And when I listened back to past episodes, I used to cringe and count how many times I said those words. I did become obsessed, because it was my preference to do the best that I can. So it is one of those things where focus can be obsessive, because you want to do better, you want to be great, you want to be the best person you can be, because you don't want to be, you know, you don't want to send out a schlocky product. And so that's why I made the obsession and focus comment, because it does. You can actually overanalyze, overthink everything.
And overfocus, sure.
Overfocus.
Well, everything contains its opposite. You know, everything in the universe contains its opposite.
That's a good point.
It has to. You can't jumpstart a car without the positive charge and the negative charge. It's just basic physics. You have to have that. So understanding the basics of the game, then you can really embrace that. Okay, when is it healthy for me to let it go? When is it healthy for me to focus and bring that balance for yourself? You know, you have to know yourself and know when you're getting into this scary place.
Well, you know, it's funny.
You know what
funny.
I mean? Right.
It's funny with certain things. You know, you have a manufactured product where perhaps you have a spec, you know, and it's supposed to be tuned down to X nanometers or something, and you can measure this with tools, and you know when you're done. With creative projects, you reach this point where you've sanded down the wood to its sharpest edge, but then you're just sort of sanding in midair, and you don't know whether you're done, whether it's time to let the audience receive it, and it's theirs then. Once it's you give it to them, it's theirs. It's not really yours anymore. And that's the strange thing about it. I've had this conversation with musicians who endlessly will, you know, rewrite and re-record and so forth until they get to this point where they just go, no, that's done. And it's just a decision, like a follow-through with a baseball player. He would never, like, hit the ball and then just stop and freeze that bat. He swings effortlessly through the whole swing. And I think that part of that release is like follow-through in sports. It's just the natural tail of the comet as it goes by and out of your orbit, you know?
Yeah.
And
it's
very
a feeling.
Hard to pin down.
Everyone knows when they're in the zone. It's really a feeling with inside of yourself, and bringing it back to yourself and knowing who you are and when that feeling comes to you. I think that's what's so important. And if we don't know ourselves, we can get caught up in other feelings that would interfere with that flow. You know, you have to practice. Yeah, you have to get to know yourself.
No, I've done photography for years, too. I know when I have the shot. Richard, you know while shooting Milgram or whatever you're shooting, you know when you have the scene. It is integral.
Right.
It is one of those things where it's like, hey, you know what? It can't get any better. We're done. Let's move on.
It feels right.
Feels right. Absolutely. Taking your calls at 516-418-5594. You're talking to Richard Cutting, actor, writer, producer, and director, and Sandy Athey, taking your messages and delivering them from the Universal Inbox. When we get back, more with Richard Cutting. Don't go away. Jackie D. Williams from Jarrow, UK, with Unite With Me. Don't go away. You're on the couch.
You can see what
Richard Cutting. Richard, unite. Unite is a very good word on focus. Met you in New York for the Indie Soap Awards, and what I found so fascinating about that event, hosted it 3 years in a row, that when you unite with such talent in a focused arena, did you, and of course I think you did, feel that sort of energy when everybody had the same goal in mind, either to get their web series out, to get their song out, or what have you? That kind of energy breeds such positive motivation. Would you not agree?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is, I think, the heart of, you know, being an artist, being a you know, being an artist as your avocation and profession, is this sort of meta level of, and that's not to say that surgeons and guys who come up with fantastic insurance policies don't have that kind of passion, but the idea of artists getting together with so many different elements, I mean, and that Indie Series Awards is a special event because those guys curate, and a couple of the shows do, such a great group of people from, you know, an amazing density of across the world, men, women, all races, all creeds, colors, cultures, every preference group, you know, and they put them all in a room and they're all roughly doing the same thing, which is creating series content, but mm-hmm. in such extraordinarily different ways. And it cannot be anything but highly catalytic in that room and positive because, you know, let's face it, they're not grinding it out for the money because there is no revenue model.
There is no money
yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no money. There's no real coherent business there. We wish there would be, and people are working on that. But so it's kind of for the love, and I think you've hit it right. It's an incredibly unusual space, and very positive. It sparkles with positivity. I mean, you really feel it in the room, like high-powered static electricity.
Oh, absolutely. Sandy, we got to go. The next one's actually held in the seventh annual is held in Los Angeles. Roger Newcomb is doing a great job with We Love Soaps.
Yeah.
But, Sandy, we're 8 minutes out. Richard, I would love Sandy to go ahead and deliver messages to your inbox, if you would allow it, because I know Sandy has some great information for you.
Oh, have
absolutely.
Fun. And, you know, I was thinking about, as we were talking about focus, what it takes for me to focus to get the messages from the universe. And what is it that I do? It's what we were talking about before with the brain. My near-death experience, Richard, you were talking about putting people in the MRI machine, and they've put people that have the near-death experience in the MRI machine, and they see that there's literally a place in the brain that changes. And I'm able to focus in that place to get the messages. It's really very fascinating. And I think everyone does it to a certain extent, but it's just that, you know, mine's a little more amplified. I'm a professional. Don't try this at home. Right. But, Richard, do you have a specific question or a particular place? Because there are a lot of messages in there for you. And it's one of those old-fashioned secretary desks where she's sitting there, an old-fashioned hotel, when you would go up to go in the lobby and go up to the desk, the front desk, and behind it would be all those little cubby holes.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it looks like to me. It's very old school. You really like to do things very old school and very, the word is traditional, really. You like to get to the core of things, and the technology is a wonderful tool that you use, and you like to incorporate all of it, but your core is to go old school. If you ever have a question about something or a direction to take, I see you sitting back, taking a breath, and saying, okay, we're going old school here. Is that
That's
accurate?
Great. That's great.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. I love
and
the whole feeling
specific...
of the old reception area. That's great.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, the old Well, what box do you want me to check?
Relationships,
work, I mean... Go ahead.
Well, I think the work thing is interesting. We've been talking about that. What is the good orderly direction moving forward? I love to take these inputs. The future is a place that we can all explore, but we're not there yet. So I'm all ears.
Now, I definitely know that the choices that we make now form our future. And my gift really is, and the messages that I get are how to bring balance and synergy to that particular person so that they can move, or animal, so that they can move forward in the direction that they choose to, towards their goal. So looking at you're just so fascinating, the way that there's so many things that connect with you. And with work, the universe's message is, just keep doing what you're doing. You have had this focus for many years. I'm getting like 3 or 4 decades of this particular focus, which is really in direct alignment with your soul. And there's 2 thumbs up, and they said, just keep doing what you're doing. And the fact that you know intuitively to slow down your internal vibration, and the universe is telling me you'll know what I mean by this, you intentionally do this, is you slow down. And what that does is that creates an opening for you to expand your creativity. And they're saying keep doing this because there are projects that will be coming up that will really stretch your focus. and they will really stretch this wonderful exercise of intuitive feeling and knowing and creating that you've been experiencing, you know, for the past 40 or 50 years, and keep moving it forward because it's expanding exponentially. And this move that you've currently made to Connecticut is going to challenge you in a few ways that will be extremely beneficial to you later. Do you understand?
Yeah, sure. No, that's marvelous. Okay. Thank you so much, Sandy.
You're welcome. Thank you for the privilege of checking your inbox. I appreciate
that. Feel the
You're
love,
really quite a guy.
People.
That's marvelous.
Richard, running out of time. Where can we go ahead and find you? On Facebook?
Facebook, all over Facebook, on Twitter at The Fast Walkers. Richard Cutting 2 is my other Twitter handle, but I'm just hit me on Google, and our show is called Milgram and the Fast Walkers. It's www.fastwalkerseries.com.
Fantastic. Richard, buddy, I can't wait for you to come over and sit by the pool. As ever, Sandy Athey, our resident spiritual intuitive author of the Daily Dance. Sandy, you're a brilliant, lovely lady. Thank you so much for listening to On the Couch. I'm your host, Michael Couch. Richard, buddy,
thank
huge
you, Michael.
Love.
You have
huge
such,
love,
such
man.
Wonderful talent at selecting music, too. I must tell you. Oh, it's gorgeous.
You're fantastic. For another edition of On the Couch, I'm Michael Couch. And Richard, good night. Sandy, good night. Richard, I'm going to give you a call in a few seconds. Sandy, I'm going to call you right after that. But thank you for tuning in to another edition. And always remember to treat each other with kindness and be good to one another. Thank you for tuning in. We'll catch
you
again.
Thank you, Michael. Much love.
Much love. Take care. Take care, Sandy.
Safe journeys, and I'll talk to you soon.
You got it. Good night, everybody.
Good night.